Okay, as I mentioned earlier, I want to share with you on a subject we're going to title True Worship. And I think if you've done any kind of a study or been in any history classes where you've looked at cultures from around the world, I think you've seen where virtually every culture has some kind of recognition of something bigger than themselves. And we might call it religion, okay? But there's something more than just themselves that they reverence, that they recognize. And, I mean, you can go through the history of the world and all the different people that have lived and the different cultures that have existed, and they all have some sort of a god or a recognition of something bigger than themselves. And I think this is a very true, because some people see a god that can't be seen, an invisible god. Maybe they call the sun God, right? A lot of cultures would call the sun God. Some cultures have gods in the animals. There's little beetle gods and all kinds of different, all kinds of different setups where people within themselves, they can only go so far, but they know there's got to be something else, something bigger than themselves. And so they've come up with all kinds of religions and considerations of who that might be and how they might connect with that being, that greater being, be it God or whatever. And that connection we call worship. We worship something that we reverence, that is something that is bigger than ourselves. Of course, we all reverence ourselves. We're pretty selfish, self-serving many times. We think we've got it all covered, but when you think about it, there's got to be something bigger, something better than who we are in ourselves. So, yeah, worship then is where we praise, we have activity whereby we recognize that bigger source and give them due diligence that they are something very, very special. And what that activity would be it love, a respect, a bowing down, sacrifices. I mean, again, you look through the cultures of our times in history, all kinds of crazy things went on in reverence and activities done for their God. But what about, is there really a God? What about the true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth? And that's the one we want to get into tonight, okay? And and when we're going to do that here in a moment, but let me mention, I did a study on the internet of different worships on different religions. So the one study had five major religions, Judaism, and they would... the special day for them to show reverence and worship would be Sabbath on Friday to Saturday. And of course they start at 6 in the evening. And so that's their Sabbath day. And they have special other days and things that they do. Buddhism. Now Buddhism is interesting. They don't have any particular day that they grab onto, though they say they have a day of resting, and I cannot pronounce this, Upasatha. that they call, that is their day of rest. So that's their special day in recognition of a greater power. Hinduism is similar like that, but they usually have their recognition where they pray in the evening and early in the morning, or they go on pilgrimages, or they go to a temple where they have that time of reverence to their higher being. Islam's, how many times do they pray a day? Five times. This is their recognition of their God is five prayers they do daily. And then they have other special days of recognition. And then, there's Confucianism, there's Shinto, there's a bunch of them. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on them. You're welcome. But let's take a look at Christianity. And because that's what we're keenly concerned about. The true God and what he has set up whereby we can recognize him and worship him. You know, everyone worships something. Think about it. It's not necessarily they worship some god or something, but it might be some famous person. It might be some athlete that they reverence. It might be some graven image. It could be some sports, money, the stock market, entertainment, TV, politicians. I mean, we could go on and on where people have worshiped all these different aspects in life. In the Bible, let's see how man approaches worship in the Bible. So, Mark chapter 7. Let's go to Mark in your Bibles. And we'll take a look in chapter 7 of Mark. And chapter 7, verse 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" Jesus, he answered and said unto them, "Well has Isaiah prophesied to you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They might say the nice things, but where is their heart?" And Jesus is saying, their heart is far from me. "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things you do." And he said unto them, "Full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition." So Jesus Christ was confronting the Pharisees, who were the doctors of the law. They were supposed to be the experts of what was the word of God, or what was to be rightly done. And he was telling them, "You guys are really missing the boat here. You're saying maybe the right things, but in your heart, you're far from me." And they were into the traditions of men rather than what God had said. Let's go to Romans, okay? Let's go to Romans. Acts, Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Okay, we're jumping right in the middle here. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies within themselves, who changed the truth of God into what?
A lie.
A lie. And worshipped and served the creature more than what? The creator. They worshipped the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, you know, man tries to do his thing, but for the most part, as he says here in verse 22, they profess themselves to be wise, but they really become fools. Really. So let's go to John, back to the Gospel of John. And we're here with the Word of God, okay? We're looking in the Scriptures. And I want to quote this one verse here in John 17:17. Okay, just to set that the Scriptures, God's Word, is where we want to put our time and effort in. And in John 17:17, it says, and this is Jesus Christ saying this, sanctify them through thy truth. And the word sanctified means to set apart special through thy truth, thy what? Thy word is truth, okay? The word of God is truth. So we believe that the Bible contains the true Word of God. It says later in the Scriptures that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, God, and so they wrote the Word of God. And we have that wonderful Word of God that we can trust in and believe in. And so let's go to chapter 4 here. We're in John. Go back a little bit here to chapter 4, and let's look at this subject of worship and see what God has to say about worship and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so chapter 4, we're going to pick it up in verse 19. Now, here in verse 19, it says, the woman said unto him, we're right in the middle of this story. I don't want to get into the whole thing because we'll miss dessert. We don't want to do that, right? Yeah. So we're jumping here in the middle, and this is the woman at the well, okay? And Jesus is talking to this woman, which is in cultural, this is unusual. This normally would not happen, but they're talking. And so she responds here where we're picking it up in verse 19. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet, talking about Jesus Christ. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Now, these were Samaritans, all right? And they were not looked upon favorably by the other Jews during this time. And so that's why she's saying, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. You go to Jerusalem, this is where you go to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Mm-hmm. Ooh, this is interesting. Ye worship you know not what you worship, ye know not what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Okay, so if we're going to recognize that God Almighty, the God of this word here, okay, the Father of Jesus Christ, and he's his Son, that here is the standard for true worship. And what is that standard? That they would worship in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Why? Next verse. God is spirit. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He reiterates it, right? He says it again. That they would worship in spirit and in truth. And this is a figure of speech with these two elements of spirit and in truth. It really emphasizes truly, this is how you worship, truly with the Spirit, okay? This is how you worship, through the Spirit. Now, God is Spirit. How can I worship God who is spirit if I need to worship him via the Spirit? Well, when you're born again of God's Spirit, then you have the resource by which to worship God. God is spirit, all right? And man, when he confesses the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, he's saved, he's born again, he's filled with the Spirit. Now he has that capability to worship God in the Spirit. Now, let me just hold there, okay? Because I know in Christianity today and tradition and things like that, when we talk about worshiping God, what do? We play music probably, right? We have a worship service. And what does that consist of? Music. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's great. Because we're praising our Father, right? We praise our God. So I'm not knocking that. But we are zeroing in on what God is zeroing in on, which is true worship. Because we praise our Father through music, our activities, and all that we do for our Heavenly Father. It's great. It's wonderful. But to really zero in here with this true worship, it's got to be via the Spirit, okay? Now, let's get back here. We've got the Spirit in us. How can I use the Spirit to worship God? That's a great question. Great question. Let's go to another verse, okay? Because I want you to see this in Philippians chapter 3, all right? So let's go to chapter 3 in Philippians. So Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 3, verse 1. It says here, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you, to me indeed. It's not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. This is a figure of speech. It's not like he doesn't like puppy dogs and things like that. It's Gentiles, evil Gentiles. Beware of evil workers, beware of concision. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God. Which worship God how?
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So here we see again this worship God in the Spirit. And so what does that mean, to worship God in the Spirit? Again, we have this Spirit. And this Spirit, we have nine manifestations, evidences that are part of this Spirit we have. In Corinthians, it talks about the nine manifestations, evidences of the Spirit, okay? And they consist of a number of different things. We did two of them in our fellowship with the purpose of building up the body, right? And which was wonderful. But there's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. That's part of the manifestations. That's getting information of God from God. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, how to take the word of knowledge that you have and how to apply it. Faith, miracles, and healing. These are the power manifestations whereby we can bring to pass healing in somebody's life. It's pretty neat. So, but there's also this manifestation of speaking in tongues. That's one of the nine manifestations. So, when it comes to worshiping in the Spirit, it's got to get involved one of these manifestations. And speaking in tongues is the key manifestation whereby we can worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, I know I'm not explaining this very well, so I'm going to use a resource of a wonderful man of God that has worked the word with greater depth than I ever did. And he put it all into a nice little study called What is True Worship? And I want to share this with you, and I think this will give you a little better understanding. How are we going to worship God by the Spirit if we are not born again of God's Spirit? It is impossible. If we are born again of God's Spirit, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can worship the true God by the Spirit. And to worship by the Spirit, we must operate a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit which produces true worship is speaking in tongues. When we worship God by way of speaking in tongues, it is speaking unto God. And then there's a number of verses he shares here. Now I'm going to go right through here. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Speaking in tongues is speaking the wonderful works of God. Acts 2:11, quote, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak our tongues, the wonderful works of God. Speaking in tongues is magnified God. Acts 10:46, I quote, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Speaking in tongues, praying perfectly. Quote Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Speaking in tongues is giving thanks well. Quote 1 Corinthians 14:17, for thou givest thanks well. Speaking in tongues is worshiping in or by spirit and in truth. Speaking in tongues is true worship. God, who is spirit, is communicating to his gift of Holy Spirit, which is his new creation in me. In other words, God's Spirit speaking to my spirit is evidenced by speaking in tongues is truly worship. How beautiful and yet how misunderstood worship has become. So, again, let me say that when people talk about let's worship God and they play music and stuff, that's fine. They're praising God. They're wonderful. But when it gets to the true worship, what really counts, what really, if you're really going to recognize God and who he is and how wonderful he is, boy, you can do it by speaking in tongues. Because you're operating that gift that he gave you. He has given us a gift of Holy Spirit. Now we are believing him. We're using that gift to speak in tongues, to speak in God, to God. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
It is. And I know it's kind of a different kind of a teaching here. You just don't hear this in any churches I know today, but we've looked at the scriptures and we've seen what the scriptures say. And I'm really blessed and thankful that we can understand this and that we can truly worship God by the Spirit, you know? And it's a beautiful thing. It really is. So I wanted to share that with you. And so, Father, thank you that we can do what you've talked about here when it comes to worshiping you in spirit and in truth by operating the manifestation of this gift of Holy Spirit, specifically speaking in tongues. So it's sure a privilege, Father, to recognize you, to give you that praise, to put you first by operating that wonderful gift that you've given us by speaking in tongues. So I pray for understanding in the hearts of the folks here that have heard this teaching, Father, that they can have greater understanding of this subject. And if they don't, that you can work in their hearts so that they can in the future. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.